Amen. Let's take our Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Glad to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we get to look in the Word of God this evening, it's always a privilege to be a church and be part of the people of God and gather around this old book and look at what God's got to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. As you turn in your place there, the theme of this chapter is divisions in the stewards. We're going to read the key verse in a minute, which is verse 4. And in this chapter, it's divided by two things. First, you see the contrast of the stewards in verses 1 through 13. And then the counsel to the stewards in verses 14 through 21. And as we look, we've got 21 verses, 509 words, all inspired by God and kept forever in our King James Bible at a 5.1 grade level for this chapter. It means this chapter is a little bit more difficult than the 3.6 grade level in the previous chapter, but nonetheless, we've got a great thing before us here. And may the Spirit of God give us understanding to this as we read in verse 1 through verse 8. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we might also reign with you." As we look tonight in this part of the scripture, I want to look at you at marks of the steward that's given in verses 1 through 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we beg your help tonight. Lord, that you'd open up the Word of God to us and grant us the understanding. Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ off the sincere milk of the Word. Lord, that you put your power on me as I preach tonight. Help me, God, to have the power of God, whether I have anything else. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move and do a great work and touch us from on high. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at the marks of the steward is someone who takes care of another's possessions, places, and profits. And the steward that he points out here, he starts off by saying, we're stewards of the mysteries of God, and we took the time a few Sunday nights back and looked at all those mysteries of God listed in the Bible. But as we look at these marks of the steward, you'll notice there are the steward, the first mark is the steward is to display faithfulness. Verse 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Hey, if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to be faithful. I found out that, you know, a lot of churches, the way they keep members is this. They take the most unfaithful people and put them in the most faithful jobs to keep them there. That's not being faithful. Hey, listen, if you hold your place here and look over at Titus chapter 1, I'll show you this. In the pastoral epistles, you find out how to run a church, and you'll find in Titus chapter 1, I want to show you this verse. You may want to mark this for some other time in case I lose my mind or something and do this. Amen. Some of you think I've already lost it. That's all right. Verse 5 of Titus chapter 1, the Bible says, this is Paul telling this young preacher, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every place as I had appointed thee." He gives off all the qualifications. Verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught." The faithful word. The faithful word. Hey, do you know what we need people to be? We need to be faithful. And back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 over there, listen, they're display faithfulness, and they're display faithfulness to the person of the Lord. When there's nobody around but you, and nobody can hear what you're saying, and nobody knows what you're doing, that's when you're faithful to Jesus Christ. It's not while the spotlights are on, and while the tape machines are rolling and the video camera's rolling. It's when no one's around you and no one can see you and it's the real you. As a steward of God, you got to be faithful to God Himself. Secondly, as being faithful and displaying faithfulness, you got to be faithful to the people of the Lord. You can't ignore God's people and expect God to bless you. I've heard people make statements about they don't like organized religion. I don't like unorganized religion. Here's what I mean by that. We were talking the other day about what people mean by that, and it probably means various things from person to person. But usually when somebody says, I don't like organized religion, they probably think they can worship God in a deer stand, but yet they don't bring a hymn book to sing, and they don't bring an offering plate to take up the offering. They don't support any missionaries. They don't tithe anywhere. So it's not organized religion they don't like. They're just not faithful. They're not faithful to anything. I mean, listen, you see that thing, steward? That's somebody that takes care of somebody's possessions, their places, and their profits and stuff. Hey, listen, it's hard to be faithful to the person of the Lord without being faithful to the people of the Lord, because that's who Jesus died for. And in Acts chapter 20, when it says the church He purchased with His own blood, if He's going to buy this with His own blood, I'm going to live for it with the rest of mine. Why? It's called being faithful to the people of God. And I'm not saying, now that I'm a pastor, I'm going to do it. I did this before I was called to preach. You got to be faithful to the people of God. Another thing you got to be faithful to is the place of the Lord. The place of the Lord. See, if we display faithfulness, people can set your clock by you. I looked at the clock a while ago. It's 15 after. I thought, that's how we set our clock by some people. They're always late. That's not faithful. Listen, you bought one car wreck or one flat tire from being out altogether. But I think what we ought to do is Jack Hiles used to do this, and I think it's be a good thing to do, is lock that back door, lock that door right there, put a sign out there and say, if you didn't get here by time and you're running late, God didn't want you to be here, turn around and go to the house. Amen. You say, that's being mean. Hiles only run 10,000 on a Sunday morning. That's mean. You know what it was? They couldn't stand it. They couldn't wait to get back to hear him again. Hey, listen, people like people that's real, and they want to see somebody's faithful, somebody's faithful to the place of the Lord. I'd like to think, listen, I wouldn't want any of you people to get out of church at all, but I'd like to think this, if there was a child in here that got out of church, then in 20 years they'd come back and find us preaching the same message, the same way, and standing against the same things we was when they left here. Listen, there's probably people in this community right now, they don't want Victory Baptist Church to change and waffle around and do all this other garbage that people do in cinemas and all this other stuff. Listen, if they get saved, they won't know there's a church they can go to. A church. Not a worship center. Not a movie theater. A church. And you got to be faithful to the place of the Lord. Hey, if I'm looking over to find out who want to go to, if I need a Sunday school teacher, I'm not going to think, well, they don't come to church half the time. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get somebody that's going to be faithful to the place of the Lord. Another mark of the steward is this. Verses 3 through 5, they're to disregard foolishness. In verse 3, the steward is not to listen to unjust criticism. He said, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. And when I'm talking about unjust criticism here, in life, if you're going to be a public figure and you're going to breathe oxygen, somebody's going to be critical of what you do. I notice that when there's politicians and they get into a political race, one of them's either telling the truth on the other or unjustly criticizing them. And how they respond sets the tone for the whole thing. Are you Democrats listening? Are you so-called Republicans, you conservatives, are y'all listening? See, what happens is if somebody comes up with unjust criticism and they do it towards the person of God and the Christian, don't listen to all that garbage and don't let it come back out of your mouth. Just let it go. Paul said, I ain't worried about what you're saying about me. He says a small thing. You ever heard people say, well, we're going to major on the minors and minor on the majors, that's wrong? He said, I ain't going to fool you at all. I don't care. He said, I don't even judge myself. I ain't worried about you judging me. I ain't worried about that. And listen to this. When you take time and you listen to unjust criticism, you will not want to do anything but defend yourself if you're anything resembling what was said. Don't listen to it. Put it out of your mind. I unfriend you. That's what that old lady said on the commercial. I unfriend you. And if she had said that, this isn't how this works. I unfriend you again. That's what the next thing it'll be. And listen, if somebody brings criticism towards you, God, listen, it might be that God's tried to tell you that and you wouldn't listen. So now he sends that old cruel messenger to you. Maybe you need to straighten up. But then there might be this. Maybe they're just a jerk. It's kind of like people that is critical of the things that we do at this church. They'll say, I don't like how it's done, but they don't do nothing better. They ain't doing nothing. It's kind of like people say, well, I don't like how you do soul winning. I don't like how you do this. Listen, I had people didn't like it. We've done it every week. Didn't like how we've done it every month. They don't like it either way. Hey, listen, I ain't worried about that. I got to do what God told me to do and keep going on. Hey, there's people that say, I don't like it when you start at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. There's people that didn't like it at this church. And we backed it up 6 o'clock. They don't like it at 6 o'clock. But you know what? If it's up to me, we'd have it at 1 o'clock. We'd have a service at 11 and a service at 1. I'd nap the rest of the day. I have been for 19 years. But I do know this. When you get to looking at what goes on with something like that, if it's unjust criticism, drive around and keep on going. I wish people on I-85 would do that when there's a car wreck, especially in the other lane over there. Listen, we saw two men yesterday was in a car, and they looked like they'd hit that thing, that cement thing. So everybody in that lane had to pull over to stop and see what was going on. Nobody hurt. They just, here's the people. Hey, can I tell you something? Mind your business. Just keep on going. 55 and 75, baby, keep it going. 85 one lane, 75 one lane, and 55 the right one. Keep on going. Just keep on going. Amen. I'm just speaking how Red drives when he's on the highway, but the rest of you probably speed limit people. Or 35, that's what it was. I'm sorry, your wife told me to say that. But we see that they are display faithless to the people of the Lord and to disregard foolishness by not listening to unjust criticism. And in verse 4, we're not to lean on our own cleverness. He says there in verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Don't lean on your cleverness. Because see, if you're going to fool around with foolishness, you're going to be in a mess when it comes to the things of God. But go back up at verse 4, I know nothing by myself. Hey, don't lean on your cleverness, because you're going to find out one day you don't know all you think you know. I've heard people over the years make statements, I know what such and such is thinking, I know how they think, I know all this other stuff, and then you find out they didn't know it all. Hey, here's what you do. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Hey, we don't lean on our cleverness, because one day you're going to find out your cleverness is going to run out real quick. You're going to look around and wonder one day why you thought you had everything figured it out. You thought you had everybody figured out, everything figured out, all the square holes and the square pegs, all the round holes and round pegs, and had all the answers to the questions, and then you're going to find out the questions got changed just by the time you thought you know it all. Listen, you don't need to lean on your cleverness, because listen, that's messing around with foolishness. So you calling me a fool? Hey, you got it. Hey, I hear these young preachers, they know everything. Everything. Then 40 years later, they say, I don't know nothing. You know what happened? It's called wisdom. They quit fooling with foolishness. And I see here that people, if you don't disregard foolishness, you become more foolish yourself. But notice down in verse number 6 there, he says this, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. Don't look at others in contempt. That's foolish. People get these cliques, and they think their cliques better than everybody else. A fella come up one day and said something here two nights ago. He said, we was kidding around, saying we hear a conversation going over here. He said, yeah, I hear it too. I said, the only reason you think that's because you do that. See, whatever thing you fooled up in, you think everybody else fooled up in that thing. That's your crowd. And then you get to thinking everybody thinks like you. So if you got everything hooked up together and you're all in a little clique and you got everything together, and really what it is just foolishness that you're supposed to disregard. Because God tells us we don't have a clique, we have a church, and we clique busters. I'm going to get me one of them shirts printed. Now that you get all these custom t-shirts, it's going to say click, and it got that red thing around it with a thing down through here. Because you know what I like to be? I like to be a click buster. If I can't bust them up in here, we'll bust them out the door. Amen. We don't want that stuff. That kills the spirit of a church. It'll make things where people don't want to fool with people. And listen, when you get in all that business right there, Paul makes that statement right there, the inspiration of God. He says about people being puffed up one against another. And listen to this. I see that with people. They think because they hold a certain person in admiration, they think everybody does. And they can't understand why you don't if they find out you don't. But listen, we're not to linger with foolishness. I saw the biggest bunch of foolishness today on the back of a car. You know what it said? Obama, Biden. Foolishness. Foolishness. The only one worse than that was that dude that ran against him the first time? McCain. Foolishness. Why? Listen. The logical thing in voting is never what's done right. They want to take people who's been to law school that are lawyers and put them in a political office to represent people according to the law. That's why all these people are lawyers before they become crooks or politicians. Amen. But what in reality what we need is we are in a mess. We need to find somebody like a Lee Iacocca that took over Chrysler and said, I'm going to make a dollar a year until we turn this company around. And then he turned it around. Because we're treating that government like business, and it is a business within itself. If we're going to treat it like that, we need to get a financial manager in there and not another lawyer that hadn't ever done nothing but go to law school. Amen. These people ain't even worked at McDonald's, crying out loud. They ain't done nothing. And they're going to change the economy where, like, you have jobs and stuff. I don't think they can do it. Don't mess with foolishness. But I said all that to say this. The last thing we need in office around here is preachers. Don't need that. They listen. Hey, what's wrong with us now is we got so many preachers trying to do everything but preach. Don't mess with foolishness. Don't get in the click. So I think we get a preacher there, we can turn it around. I don't think we can. I don't think we put a Baptist in office right now to do us any good because we've tried that for the last 200 years and it ain't worked yet. But what I do see is this. I see we're to disregard fellowship, to disregard foolishness. Instead of trying to mess up with foolishness, when we get messed up with fellowship and do the things of God, have fellowship with Him, fellowship with His people, and be a good steward of what God's put in our hands. Now notice this one. The last mark of the steward, we're to display faithfulness and disregard foolishness, but we're to demonstrate fearfulness. The main thing that people run around saying right now is this. And I don't know how they do it in other places in America, but down here we say we ain't scared. You're probably the biggest chicken this side of the Mississippi River. Amen. You talking about, I ain't scared, I'll fight Miss Mother. Your wife's this tall, and she pulls your strings, makes you jump, and everything else. But yet you say you ain't scared of somebody this big. Shame on you for lying. You're scared to death. When we look at a man that says, I ain't scared, you know what I think of? It's like a man says he's humble, you can't believe him. But look at verse 7. And we demonstrate fearfulness. It's not a fearfulness. We don't want to see somebody that demonstrates what you'd say, a pride of self. Because people that display a pride of self are some of the most fearful people in the world. But they're only fearful of one thing. Anybody that's not them. We're to demonstrate fearfulness by not saying we're afraid, but being afraid of God Almighty. You ever hear these reprobates now that say this in these little contemporary churches? You don't have to fear God. God loves you. True, He does. But yet that same God, written by the same apostle, under the same inspiration, tells us in Hebrews 10 to fear Him. That's not an Old Testament. That's a New Testament. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Do you know that I like to see folks succeed in ministry and do well? But what if somebody's not qualified to be in ministry and they stay there a long time and you know what happens to them? They die. Then something else happens. The judgment seat of Christ. And then something else really happens. Wood, hay, and stubble. Why? They wasn't qualified. They're disqualified. They had their reasons. They had their arguments. They had their things lined up. But there's one thing they didn't have lined up was their life in this book. If you're disqualified and you go out and do it anyway, you got your reward right here. Hey, that's true. Because what happens is, people don't understand, but somehow in some way, when somebody does something that they say is for God, it's not. God will let you do it. He'll let you do it as long as you can put up with it. But at the end of the day, when life's setting sun comes, and we get on that old ship and we travel over yonder, as old song says, when we get there, we're going to have tears in heaven because we didn't do what God said. You say, that sounds very negative, and I intend for it to be. Yes, you got that right. You said, you have a bad spirit. I've worked a long time to get it, and you ain't going to knock it out of me tonight. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks don't realize this, but we're not to demonstrate fearfulness towards man. We're to demonstrate fearfulness towards God. See, people getting all these things, and even back in verse 6, he says, let us not think of men above that which is written. Hey, listen, there's some people, all they do is for people to see it. They won't listen. They want to get them hotshot big boy teachers and preachers in. They want to have these big quartets in. They want to line all this other stuff up. But oh my goodness. Then comes time to deal with all the things that's going on that make the church a church. And all of a sudden we start digging past the surface and we find out something. There's a woman teaching Sunday school to the men and she ain't even a member of the church. She's a Catholic. And she's sleeping with two of the deacons. Oh, well, we can't touch that right now. We preach on adultery, run half of them off. I say run half of them off. Amen. I'd rather be like Jesus and have 12 and fall and 6,000 at your homecoming meal and take off. Just because of one message. Do you know prior to that chapter, he didn't have 6,000? They just showed up. Then you read later on in the gospel, you find something happened. It says that while the people slept, the enemy planted tares amongst the wheat. Ain't that something? What are they there for? Try to take the thing over. Ruin your crop. Hey, listen. We're not to have pride for self. We're to demonstrate fearfulness of God. But in verse 8, he says, now you're full. And boy, he striped these Corinthians for 3 chapters already. And gets here and talks about, now you're full. Now you're rich. Now you've reigned as kings. Watch this. Without us. And I would, God, he says, you did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's letting them know, hey, you're not doing too well. See, if you're going to demonstrate fearfulness of God, there can't be not even one hint of self-sufficiency in it. The main problem they're having right here, they're very self-sufficient down there at the church at Corinth. Very self-sufficient. And what they were doing is, they had the whole thing worked out. Here's how they done it. They had an order of service that they didn't ask God about. They had their songs laid out that God wasn't consulted on. They had their sermons laid out that God wasn't asked to be in on. They had their Sunday school literature sent to them from Nashville. They wasn't worried about it as long as, you know, they had something, you know, for the Sunday school teacher to read to somebody. And then they talked in tongues and they didn't even do that right. Had all that. And what did Paul say? He said, you did all that without us. You're self-sufficient. He said, and then he kind of insults him, says, I would to God you did reign. I would to God that you was what you thought you was. We'd do it with you. But now we see this. They need to demonstrate a fearfulness of God and quit trying to impress everybody around them. I think it's great to have these marquee signs. And if I was on I-85, I'd have one probably 8 foot by 10 foot. And it'd have Bible verses and everything else. I wouldn't make it too eye-catching because, you know, it's hard to be 75 miles an hour and catch a good message on the side of the road. But I do know this. I've seen a lot of people take stuff like that, and that becomes something to brag about. Let me tell you something. I don't think we ought to have them little horseshoe tournaments and things like that where you pay $5 and everybody plays and whoever wins, wins. But I'm definitely not going to put the words cornhole out there on something. Telling you, that's all this crowd's come to. Rock concert, 7 o'clock Saturday night. Where at? Coliseum? No, here at the church house. And you get the little flyers in the mail. We was looking at this morning. You get the little flyers in the mail. Looks like a bunch of hoodlums up there. One looks like one's running from the law. One's a sodomite and all this other stuff there. They lay on that paper. And you think they want my kids to go to that? What message are you preaching over there? And then we got the big preacher coming in. He's got degrees and he's ordained in 3 different states and all this other stuff. There he is, boy. He's a pretty boy. Really? See King James only? Oh no. Well, you know, why are you having him in? See, that's how this works. See, if you toe that old line, you don't get to be popular, but you do get to stay in fellowship with the Lord. Honest fellowship with the Lord. Be fearful of Him. Hey, a man that fears God does not fear man, but a man that fears man does not fear God. Hey, listen, here's what we got here. People are so self-sufficient nowadays, once you tell them how to say you want to do something, they figure it out without prayer now. They do. It's amazing. The modern church, as we may call it today, that's trying to do all these things and be winsome and oratory skills and whatnot, trying to, please the masses and all this. They've got one huge thing about them that screams out so loud that you can't hear Jesus' name. It's called self. They're not teaching folks to be Christian or teaching about Christ or teaching the Bible. It's all about self. All about you. Well, I got news for you. If you think you can teach that in the church, you're wrong. They know that coming in. You got to pray and preach that out of people. It's not about you. It's not about your thoughts, your feelings. It's about Jesus. You know people got mad in churches because somebody didn't sing their favorite song one day. Really? One song. Well, tell me what song it is and I'll put it off the playlist. We won't have it. We'll see how long you'll last. Amen. Because if one song about your backer spitting granny is going to put you out, we're getting rid of that and so you'll be out. I've seen people say, well, what we got to have is we got to have a big youth program and do all this other stuff. Let me get this straight. You don't bring basketball into church, a bunch of cussing parents in the stands, having to put up a fundraiser over to keep the doggone team in jerseys or whatever and buy basketballs and keep the air on in the gym, but you won't come to soul winning? Not a church anymore. Social club. Social club. See, when folks are going to get caught up in sports instead of caught up in the Spirit, listen, they've got a fear of man, not a fear of God. Right. And listen, there was an atheist said something a while back. He was one of them guys. He's a comedian. He's an atheist. And I can't even remember his name, but he said this. He said, if you Christian people really believe that God's going to put somebody in a place called hell and you're not busy telling somebody, he said, you're the worst hypocrite I've ever heard about in my life. He said, personally, I don't believe all that. He said, but people's trying to go out and tell somebody about that. I respect them. He said, but all you people that sit around and do nothing while you think people are going to hell, he said, you're a hypocrite. Right. I thought, man, as soon as he gets saved, I'm having him for a meeting. I'm telling you, long hair and all. I'm telling you, listen, there's a lot of folks today. They don't demonstrate fearfulness of God. You don't have to broadcast you got fearfulness of God. You got to demonstrate it. You say, what's that for? So people can get saved? No, that's for saved people. Because, see, that's catching amongst God's people. Lost people won't respond to it, but God's people will. Listen, are you going to be a faithful steward? Are you going to be a faithless steward? See, these people at Corinth, the reason he's even bringing this up, they weren't faithful. You know what they had a problem of? They had a Sunday night, Wednesday night problem. They had a soul winning problem. So what was the problem? They wouldn't do them. I've heard people try to say this, and they'll try to justify their apostasy and their laziness by saying, well, they didn't have church in the Bible on Sunday night. Well, I believe they did. Matthew 13, Jesus taught in the evening. John chapter 20, Jesus shows up in the evening. Are you following me on this? And every time I see all that, I keep thinking, what would Jesus do? He had come to church is what he would do. Luke chapter 4, he showed up at the synagogue as was his custom. He made it a custom of his to come. And then people say, well, I don't like all that tradition. Paul said, learn our tradition and do them. That's what the Bible says. And listen, all these people are saying, well, we need to do something new and do that. No, the message ain't changed. Message has not changed. But I'm going to tell you what has changed. People have tried to change God's church and we've let them. Hey, we need to be faithful stewards. Need to be faithful to the things of God. Need to be faithful to the place of God and faithful to God Himself. And say, you know what? If nobody's going to do right, I'm going to be a steward over here that's called a faithful steward. I'm going to be the steward over here in verse 2 that a man be found faithful. Hey, is there any faithful people left in Victory Baptist Church? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, we love You. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. And God, what a privilege it is to come to the house of God. Lord, I